This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries.
And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Good afternoon. Always thanking God for the opportunity to be together in order to hear from Him. Today we shall be rounding up this series of reminders of our theme of the year, Standing Firm in the Truth and Love Till I See Him. We already covered Why Be Reminded, which was the first reminder. Why be reminded? We want to look at why is it important to be reminded? We all want to recall good old days, but we are told not to forget that in the bad days God was also there. He has not changed. In the good and bad times, God is faithful. Then number two sermon that we looked at is on six facts about your memory bank. Why God asks us to memorize and meditate daily, even though we may not have necessarily forgotten. In that sermon, we were cautioned to watch what we see, what we hear, or even imagine, for our subconscious mind records everything, and there is always a flow back. As it is said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That is obeying the laws of direct proportionality, similar in meaning with what you sow is what you reap. The third sermon was subtitled, Are You Standing in the Truth and Love? The parable of the 10 virgins helped us to see what it means to be standing firm. So also the story of the Hebrew children in Daniel. From there we learn that it was not until in Babylon they started standing firm, but right back home from their youth they stood firm on the word of God. Clearly, they were holding to the fact of you shall not worship or bow to any god or image except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when even they were taken into captivity, that was stored in their subconscious mind and it was alive. And that is how they say it is not a thing to talk with Nebuchadnezzar after threatening them to be thrown into the furnace. They said they will never bow. They never bow. So they stood from their youth on those truths. And even when the trouble came, it made them standing firm. So are you standing firm? Don't wait until the 11th hour before you start finding out how to stand. It is important that situations and issues meet us standing firm in the truth and love. And that is why the sermon was titled in a question form, Are You Standing Firm in the Truth and Love? And today, the subtitle is, What does till I see Him means? Let us pray. God in heaven, as always, we seek your light on your word for us. Speak to us, and we pray by your grace, as we listen, we will not be the hearers alone, but the doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The till or until, generally speaking, is a statement, or is a phrase or word rather, that has conditions, that something has to happen before something happens. Let me give an example so that it will help us understand what we will be discussing. For example, I'm not going out today until Peter give me a call himself. I say it again. I'm not going out today until I receive a call from Peter. Remember this example. I am not going out today until I receive a call from Peter. Number one, in this statement, we know the decision, the resolve, the promise is that I am not going out today. That's the condition. This is the condition, the firm foundation, the decision. I am not going out today. And number two, I will only change my position of not going out when Peter calls me himself. Now, very specific, not any call, but call from Peter himself. I will not accept any call that will tell me that Peter said I should call you, or Peter said I should come to see you and tell you. The condition is I am not going out today until I receive a call from Peter himself. So when I say standing firm in the truth and love till I see Jesus, condition is I will continue to stand firm in the truth and love, and nothing will change. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to shift. The only game changer that will make me change my position is when I see Jesus. Hallelujah. Till I see Jesus, I will not budge. I will not shift from standing firm in his truth and love. Now, till I see Jesus has many aspects in life. It is not just seeing him coming in the clouds, inclusive though. Here are some five aspects of what till I see Jesus. Number one, I am not giving up myself. I am not giving up on myself till I see Jesus in my life. It means what? That I will not give up on myself until Jesus is formed in me, until he's born in my life, until he's grown up in my life, and until he is doing his ministry in my life. Well, some of us, I don't know whether Jesus is conceived, born in you, is he growing or is he starved? It also means until my disposition is altered for Christ alone, my personality. Yes, we should not copy other people. We have our uniqueness. God created us uniquely different. But there is only one thing that God requires of us. If there is any change in our personality, in our character, in our attitude, it's by following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Not any other step. So until my disposition is altered, no matter what your personality, your composition, whatever character, attitude that is, it ought to be altered by Christ alone. I am not giving up on myself till I am in complete union, harmony with Christ. Until God's will is my will, I'm not going to give up until the Father's will is done, such that His decision is my decision. In my relationship with my family members, with friends or loved ones, He's at the center of it. In my business and other life pursuits, it is driven by Him. He is the fulcrum that everything turns around. Until I hear, I will not give up until I hear the Father testifying in me and through me, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When He looks at me, when He sees me in any place, He is pleased with me. In other words, my testimony from my community will say, yes, people in my community, my neighborhood will say, that must be a child of God. When I speak, what I hear, what I wear, places I go, testify that I'm a child of God. My colleagues in the dorm, my dorm mates at work can testify. Someone on the bus that I meet or on the street will go back saying, "Today I have met a black man or that black lady that is different from all other blacks I have met." These testimonies are what pleases the Father, and He will be pleased with you. The question, what are you doing now that is pleasing God? What is it that you are listening or watching? Will God be pleased to listen or watch with you? Will God want to take the other AirPod to put in His ear to listen to what you are saying? Listening? Will He sit down at the couch in your living room to watch what you are watching? The places you go, will you invite God to come with you? Your friends, are they a kind of clique that God wants to be in the midst? Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes, frustrations of life, people commit suicide because they have given up on themselves. No, we have this great opportunity to align yourself until Christ is formed in you and until the Father testify in you and through you, saying, "You are His beloved Son, you are His beloved daughter, in whom He is well pleased." Number two, I'm not giving up. No compromising in any matter. It doesn't matter whether it is sickness or disease, poverty, hunger, famine, disaster, nakedness, racism, injustice, wickedness, broken heart, disappointments in relationship, shamed, death, loss of loved ones. Is it pleasure, relationship, finances, pain? Well, Romans 8:35 said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, danger or sword?" What is it? What is it that will make you to give up or compromise? The Bible says, if you have any problem, bring it to the Lord in prayers. See the Lord with each of these problems, any of these problems. Matthew 11:20, it says, "Come to me." If you only come to Him with those burdens, see Jesus with those burdens. He said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened." Are these things becoming a bothersome thing to you? You are exhausted, tired, wearied? Take them to the Lord. Take them to the Lord. He will give you rest from such burdens. And you know, sometimes, like terminal diseases, be encouraged and even threatened. Let's say, for example, cancer. Says, okay, you don't want to leave my body, I will take you to heaven. And you know what? Certainly, it will drop before even getting to the gates of heaven. Because there will be no sickness or diseases. There will be no poverty. There will be no racism. All of it will drop when you exit this life. That is another way of handling or looking at situation. The rest may not necessarily be here, but the final rest, none of it will come with you into the presence of God when you see Jesus. So sometimes you see Jesus in situations, in these challenges of life. You praise God. But when it doesn't, whatever that is still inflicting you, robbing you, just tell that thing, tell that problem, all right, I will take you to heaven. I will take you into the presence of God because that is where I'm headed to see Jesus. And then you will see Jesus yourself. I can bear you. None of it will go with you to the presence of God. Number three, I'm not giving up till I see Jesus in my family, my neighbors, my loved ones. Who is your neighbor? People will meet, that we meet daily. Who are your family? Your brothers, your sisters, biological and spiritual siblings. You will not give up on them until you see Jesus in their lives. Galatians 4:19 says, my dear children, whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. The pains that you may go through in order for the life of your brother or your neighbor to be saved. The shame and humiliation, the rejection, giving in your time, praying daily. What pains are you growing through? Paul describes his pain here as that of child birth until Christ is formed in someone's life. Ephesians 4:13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Daily, on your knees praying for the unity until Christ is formed in your church, in your community, in your country, in your state, in your house, until there is unity. Continue to pray for the unity. We have daily this opportunity. That is why God protected us, gave us health. We are not in the hospital. Here we are so that we can pray, intercede for the unity of the body of Christ. So don't give up until you see Jesus in your family, in your neighborhood. Hallelujah. Number four, I am not giving up till I hear, well done, faithful servant. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Yes, again, the testimonies of faithful and uncompromising brothers and sisters in the body of Christ about you. That could be another way of God saying, yes, well done, faithful servant. People can stand and testify on your behalf. You are spiritually grown up, matured spiritually, such that always the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have a positive attitude, less worried despite what is happening around you. You are confident and hopeful. God is with you. There is that joy, that radiance on your face all the time, oozing out from your heart. These are all gifts of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God is saying, well done, faithful servant. Number five, I'm not giving up until I see Jesus coming in glory in the clouds. The question I want to ask is, are you always waking up every morning with the expectation that this day could be the day? Are you so expectant that it could happen before you finish listening this message or after the church service? Aren't we to have this attitude of expectation every day? Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly." You see, if you are eagerly, you want to do something, your mind, your attention is focused and narrowed on that thing. As we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for the blessed hope and appearance and the appearing of the glory of our Lord, of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ in Titus chapter 2 verse 30. So there should be expectation daily, hoping to see Him. If you are not eagerly waiting, you are either passionate about souls that you want to share the word with them, or there is something wrong with the truth that you are standing on. So let's have a recap of what it means till I see Jesus. I am not giving up, number one, on myself till I see Jesus in my life. I'm not giving up nor compromising in any matter. I'm not giving up till I see Jesus in my family, my neighborhood, my loved ones. I'm not giving up till I hear, "Well done, faithful servant." I'm not giving up till I see Jesus coming in glory in the clouds. Hallelujah. Yes, it is easier to make promises when things are going well. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up till I see Jesus. Till I see Jesus. It's all good. We can say it. We can mean it at some point in our life. It is easier said than getting it done. When bang, when the unexpected happens, like the issue of the COVID-19 has brought a new normal and it has caused the loss of lives of many. It has caused the loss of jobs. You can imagine no income for a family of seven. Yes, suddenly your company has to move away from the city and no church folks around you again. Other things unexpectedly can happen. And then we see ourselves changing or shifting. And all these things are causing us now to give up and change. And we give excuses. Well, it is a new norm. Everyone does it. That is the only way out. And even the issue of Jesus coming back has been there since thousands of years, more than 2,000 years. Sooner, or sooner than before, has become like a slogan for Christians. Some people is becoming boring. It's making people to change. Why is this so? How do we solve or overcome the problem of not only saying, "I am not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm not till I see Jesus"? How are we going to solve that problem of saying it and standing by what we say? In other words, how can we avoid budging? How can we avoid shifting and hold on firmly till we see Jesus in the ways we have just outlined? Let's go back to the example or sample statement we made from the beginning to find something that I believe is the root problem of not keeping to the promises or vows that we make that we will stand firm in truth and in love till we see Jesus. Again, the sentence is, I am not going out today until I receive a call from Peter himself. I am not going out today until I receive a call from Peter himself. The word till or until holds something very important here. It says, I'm not going out today until. In other words, I will be here waiting to receive a call from Peter himself. If I did not receive any call from Peter himself, I will continue to wait. Therefore, the word till or until is talking about waiting. Now, I want to ask, how many people like waiting? Do you like waiting? I don't think we like waiting. If you recall, you know, your visit to the hospital, waiting for the doctor, or waiting to hear the results of the test being run, or going for a job in the company, you are there in the waiting room, or waiting for results. You know, waiting is part of our lives and is unavoidable. Even the fact in our lives, growing step by step, all right? Education, from the primary school to high school, to college, to degrees in the university, in the colleges. Pregnancy, it has to go. Patience, you have to wait. Building a business, you have to wait. However, waiting in an increasingly instant gratification world is making it more difficult. It's making it more challenging. Waiting in an increasingly instant gratification world is making it more difficult. Here is an old FedEx advertisement. It says, waiting is frustrating, demoralizing, agonizing, aggravating, annoying, time-consuming, and incredibly expensive. Wow. To some extent, could be true. But for us Christians, is that true? Is that the absolute truth? I don't think so. I understand what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. It says, meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this time, we groan and are burdened because, you know, yes, we are groaning. It's not easy, but we are groaning with understanding, with a focused mind for something eternal. What makes people wait forever? What makes some people that you can see then they are able to wait like forever? I will give you 5 fundamental principles of waiting without giving up. How to wait without giving up. 5 fundamental principles of waiting. Number 1, certainty. 100% sure it will happen. What you are waiting for will happen. 2, you have knowledge and understanding of what you are waiting for. And you know the cost of waiting. Number 3, you are desperately in need of that thing which you are waiting. 4, you are occupied. You are not just sitting, waiting, and wishing. Number 5, you have no alternative. It is all that is left, that thing which you are waiting. No alternative. You know, sometimes we have this, what we call a Christian cliche, a bumper sticker slogan: Jesus is all I need. Is that true? Is that true? You know, if Jesus is all you've got and no alternative, then Jesus is all you need. So these five principles that I have outlined: certainty, you have knowledge and understanding, you understand the cause, you know desperately in need of it, you are occupied, you have no alternative, will surely help you to stand the time of waiting. Hardship, pain, death hardly deter such people from waiting. Here is a woman dying of cancer. There is no absolute recovery, and that is clear in her mind. But she was talking to a friend that visited with a smile in her face, saying, "Jesus has been so good to me. If he wants to take me home now, I'm ready to go. Whatever the Lord wants is all right with me." She's definite. She's definite. Jesus has been good to her, and she knows where she's going. She knows this body, this cancer will have to drop. Because what? A new body will be given. 2 Corinthians 5:1. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Yes, these facts, these principles, if you know, certain of the promises of God, that God says it will happen, you will stand. You have knowledge and understanding of who God is, you believe him. You know it is him that you desperately need in all situations, even though he may use people, ultimately it is him. And you are occupied, not just staying like the one that was given one talent, went and hid it, but you are active like the ones that they receive other talents. And in whatever situation, you have no alternative but Jesus. Now, how about those that give up? What makes people give up waiting? Well, I can tell you, it's the opposite of what we have just outlined as the five fundamental principles that can help you wait forever. These people, they are not certain something will happen. They may or may not, or somehow 50-50. They may not, and they may have knowledge and understanding what is being waited for and the cause of it. Maybe not. Desperately in need of that thing. They are not occupied, just sitting, waiting and wishing. And most of the time they have alternatives. Brothers and sisters, waiting for something you are not sure it will happen simply breeds in frustration, impatience, and giving up, especially when there is pain, hardship, and it's life-threatening. Let me say something here briefly before we continue about pain, suffering, and hurting. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Everyone. No exception. If you desire to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. You know, whether you are a Christian or not, generally, we all suffer. We have pains. But when you suffer because of the name of Christ, that is persecution. When you decide to follow Christ, apart from the normal suffering in this world,
of working hard, stress, and disappointments, there is an additional suffering on you because you bear the mark and the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. You want to share in his glory? You want to hear him say, well done. Enter into my rest, faithful servant. We must also die so that we'll be resurrected. That dying may involve suffering in different ways, but because of his name. Revelation 2 verse 10b says, be faithful even to the point of death. Be faithful. Continue remaining faithful. If it means dying, die. But listen to the other aspect of that verse, and I will give you life as victor's crown. Life in God's kingdom. So you've not died. Even though there is a physical death exiting this life. So don't be afraid. With this verse, we need to come to terms with the pain and suffering in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. We don't look for pain, but this is the word of God. If we desire, if truly we want to serve God, we will face persecutions. Waiting under hardship and pain is not easy, and it is in this condition that the enemy attacks harder. When you are waiting, there is pain, there is suffering. These are the times the enemy will want to attack. We are in the last days, brothers and sisters. The enemy is more furious. He is running out of time. He is like a cornered leopard, cornered in one place. Generally, the leopard will run when it can, but when cornered, it becomes one of the most dangerous and vicious of all jungle beasts. The enemy is vicious. He's attacking in every way. He's running out of time. He will inflict untold hardship and suffering, especially to us believers in Christ Jesus. But if we hold to the fundamental principles of waiting, we are certain of his promises. We know that he will always be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have knowledge and understanding of what we are waiting for. We are desperately about seeing him. We are being occupied, not just sitting, waiting, wishing, with God's work as faithful stewards. And we have no alternative but him. Surely we will be surprised that we are standing firm in truth and love till we see Jesus. We will not budge. We will not shift. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we must come again to terms with pain and death in this our times. Pity those who have an easy life. They never really know Jesus. I doubt if they really know Jesus. Gordon MacDonald said, I have discovered that your theology is only as deep as your pain. Pain, hurting, and trials, challenges, fortunately, are the tools to help us find out if what we claim to have, that is faith, is really true. Faith can only be turned into a personal possession when it is tested through conflict. When you go through, it becomes a personal thing. Moreover, God, who is faithful, will not let us be tempted beyond our measure, beyond the threshold of the furnace meant for our sanctification. Amen. Now, we said waiting is crucial to keeping to our resolve till we see Jesus. But waiting can be achieved when there is patience. All Christians have to be patient of patience. Are you a patient of patience? We need patience in our lives. From our public scripture reading, Psalms 37 verse 7 to 9, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." Wait patiently. There are three key areas of patience in our lives. Patience in interpersonal relationship with people. I'm talking about patience and understanding towards others. You need active listening and what? Empathetic listening. You have to be one that wants to hear and understand people. You have to listen to people. You need, secondly, sustain patience in hardship in life, hardships in life. Sustain patience, perseverance. You don't lose perseverance, you lose patience. Sustain patience. Perseverance requires determination and focus. Hardships in life. We are talking about serious setbacks in life, like waiting long time for the outcome of a lawsuit or for a medical treatment or retaking your exams. Oh, you are assisting the church, you are getting old and none of the brothers are coming, showing up, or waiting for a breakthrough. You know, major things in life, you need a sustained patience, perseverance. And then the third one, patience in daily life matters. Life hazards, in life hazards daily. Getting stuck in a traffic line. These are things that can just trigger anxiety, impatience, especially if you are late to office. Waiting for a computer program to load. You know, during the summer, any summertime, you have to learn to control patience. You know, daily chores in the house. Patience to buy food, go back home, cook it, sit down to eat. You need patience. So you need this daily patience. Although there are just things that happen daily, you know how to manage them. If you are not careful in managing these little things in the house that triggers, you know, losing of your patience, it may affect the big things in your life, your personal goals in life. So these unavoidable day-to-day tasks that don't necessarily contribute to your personal goals can easily, if they're not taken care properly, they can easily upset your long-term goals. Simple example is the issue of Esau and Jacob. Usually we want to say Esau is not a patient guy because he sold his birthright. But you know what? Esau, in his profession, talks about patience. To be a good hunter, you must be patient in order to track and trap your game. But because of food, he sold. So be careful about little things that you need to exercise patience, but you are unable. It may affect your long term, your career, your life. That impatience of Esau affected the aspect of his inheritance. Brothers and sisters, in rounding up, if you are a patient of patience, you need treatment. And what is that treatment? It's love. Love. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Love is patient. Love is patient. You can have patience and not have love, but it's not possible to have love without patience, without kindness, without gentleness, and all that has been mentioned in that 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. So, as we are rounding up, to stand still without bulging, without giving up, you need to what? Wait. But waiting is not enough. There is something that helps wait. Waiting to stand is patience. But now we are realizing all is about love. The love of God. When you understand the love of God, as we went through the series of John 3:16. Love. He that gave him his son to you. What else? Because of love. The King of Kings came into the form of humanity in order to redeem us. He loves us. And that is why he has been waiting all these years for us. His patience of not coming back, so that we will come back to him and be saved. The question is, do you love the Lord? In John chapter 21 verse 15, he asked Peter, do you love me more than this? And God is asking you today, do you love him more than this, more than that? What is it that you can't give up? What is it that is making you to compromise, that you can't stand still? Do you truly love the Lord? John, 2 John chapter 3, it says grace, 2 John chapter 1 verse 6, it says what? And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his command. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. If you love me, he says, you will obey my command. And his command is that we love. It is in this love, it is in this truth, that you can stand firm and go through the period of waiting with understanding, with certainty that he is. He will show up for you. Hallelujah. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Isaiah 40:31, for those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hallelujah. Finally, brothers and sisters, continue within in the love and truth of God until you see Jesus in every area of your life, and until we behold him coming in glory. Amen and amen.